Carolee Coffee is originally from Santa Cruz. You switched them up there. You almost got me. And she now lives in Morro Bay. She is a retired sociologist and sociology professor. So please welcome Carolee Coffee.
I'm recovering from this bug that's going around, so I'll put the water there. All right. Now, is that about right? Well, I haven't thought about this story for a long time. It was in 1961, and I noticed several of you are telling stories about 1961. I was married to a Jewish refugee who came to the United States when he was 12 on a refugee ship with kids. His job on the ship was to watch all the kids that were having sex down below the deck, and he was the guard, so he got an early education. And he came here and lived in foster families, and I met him actually. He was my psychology teacher at the University of Oregon, and from a Russian Jewish background, his family had fled Red Russia, though his daddy was a Red Russian. They'd fled Russia, gone to Belgium, and so he was French and Belgian and so on. So his mother had come over from France. She was Romanian and also from Odessa to live with us and spoke very little English. And my husband went through Harvard Medical School, and then we moved to San Francisco. And after his internship, he got a residency at what was then called the Mount Zion Hospital. So this was a big deal. We had by then four children, all under the age of four on down. And they all shared bunk beds in one little room in our Berkeley home that was one of those brown shingle homes, not very large, built up on stilts. And so I decided, because I'm the social one. Oh, I should start by saying, you all probably know Phyllis Diller, right? Yeah. You know who she is. You know who Fang is. All right, Fang is her husband, and she talks a lot about Fang. Well, I was married to someone very much like Fang. He was a very authoritarian guy. He was funny sometimes in a put-down humor sort of way, but he wasn't a pleasant sort of guy. He'd had a hard childhood, so I explained it that way. So I had the brilliant idea. Let's invite your new boss, who was in charge of the internist department at Mount Zion, let's invite him and his wife for dinner. And Grandma Sherman will be there, too. She was, I think she might have been living with us or living near us in Berkeley. I don't remember that. But she was definitely there at the time, and it was my intention to include her in preparing this dinner. Now, she's from Odessa, and she was going to make borscht. And so she was going to make borscht, and then she cut up cucumbers and got them all ready and put them in the fridge. However, she didn't realize that the freezer is a different part of the refrigerator than the rest of it, so the cucumbers went there. Meanwhile, we didn't have much money. My husband had gone through medical school, and I was mothering these four little darlings. And so my mother had sent me a packet of her used clothes. And one of the things she sent was this light pink chiffon dress. And I thought, well, I better dress up. This is how I usually dress. I better dress up for this. And the boss is coming, so is his wife. And let me describe this house. It was a small living room, and between the living room and the kids' playroom, which would have been a dining room, I'd hung bead curtains. We were there in the hippie years, and I was probably one of the first hippies. We had bead curtains in this house. And that was the kitchen. And so I was put on my mother's dress, the chiffon dress, and just before the guests arrived, I discovered that there was a hem this big that was out in the back, and I didn't have time to fix it. So I thought, well, I'll just keep myself to the front of the guests the whole evening. So that's exactly what I did. So the guests come in. Meanwhile, We don't have many dishes and much money. And I knew we were going to have to wash all the dishes between each of the different parts of the dinner. So we're going to start with the borscht that Grandma Sherman had made. C-H-I-R-M-A-N. Chirman is how I say it. And my husband said, we should do this in the kitchen. And I said, but we don't have a table big enough to do this. We should do it buffet style. And what I did was I had these Japanese bowls that have this little base on them, and then it comes up. You all know what they look like. And we were going to serve the borscht in that, and so the guests came, and I brought in the plate with the borscht bowl in it and gave it to the first guest, the wife. She was wearing a beautiful powdered blue outfit, suit, and her husband. And Grandma Sherman had put the borscht in and the sour cream, and she'd put the frozen cucumbers on top. And the first thing that happened is that the woman in the powdered blue dress, the wife of my husband's new boss, started to break into the cucumber, and the Japanese bowl tipped over. And I should say, we had those butterfly wing chairs. She was sitting in a butterfly wing chair when this happened. It spilled all over her blue clothes. She had to somehow extricate herself from the butterfly wing cloth chair. She ran through the bead curtains, found the bathroom, and started cleaning herself up because borscht was all over her beautiful suit. And as she was returning at that exact moment, her husband cut into one of the cucumbers, and he was up and running into the bathroom. She was coming back. He was going that way, and I was skirting around everybody like this in my dress. And my husband, who was like Fang, said, Mama and I will finish this dinner. We'll go in and set the table. So what he did was he went into the bedroom and he pulled the bedboard out from under our mattress and he put it on top of our round table and he covered it with a sheet. Meanwhile, the rest of the dinner was in the oven. And so he said, we'll take it from here. And so I was being Miss Charming herself. And so, all right, pretended that was okay with me. And then I'd have to wash the dishes 2 feet away from our table through the whole dinner. So they all come in and sit around the table. It's pretty silent by that time. I better take a little more water here. I haven't added vodka. Anyway, so the guests sit around the table. And the husband and wife are facing the oven, and Sam is not, that's his name, Savik was his Russian name. Savik wasn't speaking to me. He was being very grim and very businesslike, and I was trying to be very gracious. And so I went to open the oven and pull out the roast beef, and Sam and his mother had covered this roast beef with a plastic bowl that had melted all over the roast beef, for God's sake. And the boss was looking at that. And so I did my skirting around like this, served the roast beef, and served the rest of the dinner like this, and then had to go to the sink and wash the dishes like this, come back for the next course. By then, things were quieter than ever. But the night before, I had stayed up till 2 in the morning with Grandma Sherman and I had made this latticed cherry pie. And this was going to be the saving grace. So there's this beautiful cherry pie I had worked so hard on. And I washed all the dishes for the next course. And we were all ready to have it. And I cut the cherry pie. And I was so proud of it. And by now, the new boss and the wife were saying not a word. So we were all seated quietly, and all of a sudden, as we started to eat our pie, the boss picked up his fork and took a bite, and there was this loud crunch. He had found the one and only cherry pit in the pie, at which point what he did was he said, he laid down his fork and he said, I think it's time for us to leave now. And so they got up and they left. And my husband was stomping along like that, and very angry. And he went into the bedroom, and I thought, oh, dear, this is going to be a hell of a next 3 weeks. He won't talk to me for 3 weeks. And I thought, I can do one of two things. And his mother was there. I said, I can either kill myself or I can laugh like hell. And all night long, his mother and I repeated every scene that we had lived through. We were hysterical with laughter. All night long, we were up doing that, and I didn't hear a word from my husband for a good 3 weeks. Didn't help that we were laughing our heads off, and he was furious. So there are more stories about Fang to come.